So I'm 9 weeks now, or 13 weeks, however many it's been. It's been a blessing. I hope you're finding God's word to be a blessing to you. The memory verses, the time in the scripture. I hope you're finding that to be a blessing. David's life. Certainly, we look at David and we look at his successes and his failures. And we see through David's failures that he could still have a right relationship with God. And he could still have the joy of God's salvation in his life. Once he turned, once he repented of his sin, he was able to have that joy again. And that is almost unfathomable, how we can go into the depths of sin, and yet when our heart is convicted of sin, the Lord will forgive us. The Lord will forgive us. Use that are getting copies, as Brother Frank said. These are unauthorized copies. And I guess I won't make that mistake again. I don't know if I'll grab them up or whatever you think, Brother Frank. Whatever you think at the end, should I grab them back up? No, brother, you're fine. The stress comes with a little guy. The Lord is good. We have a wonderful God. Memory verses. I see the pastor's got the memory verse cards right in your seat now. Are they in your seats? Everybody, are they in your seats? Okay. He said if he's preaching long and there's a verse that hits you and you say, man, Lord, that's a great verse. He actually said he'd like you to pull it out right then and he'd like you to write it right then. If I understood the recording correctly, right? That's what he said to do. Okay, you pull it out right then, you write it down, and then flip the card over and start doing it. 25 times the first day, 20 times the second day, 15 times the third day, 10 times the fourth day, and 5 times the fifth day. By the time you get into the third day, you're going to have a very good handle on that verse. A very good handle on that verse by the time you get into the third day. If you're in the fifth day and you cannot say it without looking at it, do not go into the once a day for 45 days. Do not take that verse into once a day for 45 days until you know it just by picking up your card and reading the reference you've written on the back and thinking, I know that verse. Word perfect. I can start it. I can finish it without flipping it over and looking at the verse itself. But just to look at the reference, you need to be able to do that before you leave the 5 days. If you can't, you need to get back in there. You need to read it again. You need to read it in its context. You need to pray and ask the Lord to give you wisdom and understanding. You've got to have a good understanding of that verse. And then as it gets into once a day for 45 days, it'll get stronger. But we can't meditate upon God's word if we don't have it with us. And we can't meditate when we walk by the way, when we lie down, when we rise up. We've got to have his word. And you know, when you're working on a memory verse, you're going to sleep and you're thinking about it. You wake up in the morning and you're thinking about it. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing to have God's word as our guiding light. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for last year. Lord, we saw some blessings. We saw some growth. Lord, as we've gotten closer to you, and we thank and praise you for that. Lord, this year as we magnify your word, indeed your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, we're thankful for that sure thing that we have, that you have given to us. Steps each day to help us to know what we ought to do. Lord, right now we pray that your word, your Holy Spirit, would meet with each heart here today, each life. We pray that folks will have come today and have spent a few moments with you, asking you to to be honored as we've come to this, your church today. Lord, I pray that you give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Lord, might your word, your messenger, be a blessing to folks today. Lord, as we prepare for the battle, it's a battlefield, brother. Lord, it is a battle. The battle with the flesh, the battle with self. Spurgeon says our greatest enemy is right inside of us. So, Lord, help us to take your word and read it and love it and memorize it and go out and proclaim it to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Memory verses for the day. While I was gone for 2 weeks, so we assigned two memory verses. There's 19 memory verses in this, in Psalm 51. There's 19 verses, 19 memory verses. Did I say that? There's 19 memory, I'm sorry. There's 19 verses in Psalm 51. We have a 13-week series. So when we have 2 weeks like this where I'm gone, we're doing a verse each week. Even though I'm not here, by the end of this series, you have the potential of knowing Psalm 51, and it's got a lot of great verses in it. So I'd like to do memory verses for just a few minutes. And if you have different ones that you did this Christmas, or you have a different program you're on, you share those with us. But whatever memory verses you're doing. So the memory verses that were assigned, Kelly, you have your book. What did we assign for today? It was 11 and 12. Who's got that written down? That was back on the 7th. That was back in lesson 7, wasn't it? Don't have it. Okay, thank you. I don't have it written in my lesson. What'd you guys memorize for today? 11 and 12? Okay, that's where I think we were. Okay. So you guys took Christmas off, eh? Come on, you guys. We got 19 verses to do. Oh, anybody work on any verse they'd like to share? Maybe you, ma'am? No. Oh, it is? I'm sorry. With my right hand, amen. Oh. I've been out with 7 grandchildren in one house. My memory verses, I didn't get to much as Christmas. It's maddening. And I'm not complaining. We had a good time, but man, how do you moms do it? How do you find quiet time? I'm serious. I mean, quiet time with 7 grandchildren in the house under 7 years of age. Man, I mean, try to go to a room and get some quiet time. And so we live through. Be good to get back into our schedule. So anybody else a verse? Yes, could they please? Okay, very good. Keep working these verses. If you're behind, don't be afraid to catch up. I wouldn't do more than 3 verses a week. 3 verses is, it spaces out pretty good. If you can get 2 or 3 days between a verse, starting out, once you really get going, who knows what you can do. The Lord can certainly bless. So we've got 19 verses. We gotta move on them. Lord, use those verses. He'll use them in your life and in the life of those around you. Restore the joy of thy salvation. Not all of God's children have joy. Just because you have salvation does not mean that you have the joy of your salvation. Those who have known the joy of the Lord know when they have it and when they do not. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David, a man that had certainly walked with God intimately, here he's praying to God to restore unto him the joy of thy salvation. Certainly David had gone down some bad paths. Certainly when he made his choice that evening and looked out and saw a beautiful woman washing herself, he made a bad choice. Perhaps he wasn't walking in the Spirit that day. But the flesh is weak. That's why we be careful where we go, what we do, what we let come before our eyes, where we let our feet take us, what we let our hands do. We be careful because the flesh is weak. So we never want to give the flesh an opportunity with our lives to dishonor the Lord. We want to avoid that. Restore the joy of thy salvation. Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Following along in your lessons, that just repeated, didn't it? Not all of God's children have joy. Just because you have salvation does not mean you have the joy of that salvation. Those who have known that joy of the Lord know when they have and when they don't. Here David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The little three-letter joy thing that we've learned over the years, who would say that? Joy. Who will say that for me? Kelly. Okay, joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. How many of you have heard that? No, really? Wow. I thought everybody heard that. Joy is Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last. Okay, good. Wow. Joy. Jesus, others, yourselves. The flesh will want to put me first. It'll want to do that. But joy comes in honoring the Lord, in blessing others, and then ourselves last. Joy. You might want to jot that down somewhere, maybe a little note in your Bible or whatever. In the New Testament, we read the Apostle Paul was afraid of being cast away. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, here Paul was afraid of being placed in a position where he would no longer be useful in the Lord's work. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, 24. First Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Here, Paul, certainly a man that walked with God, certainly a man that had power with God, a man that had done, through God's power, had done many miraculous things. Here, Paul is concerned, lest I should be cast away. David had the same concern. As we're going through Psalm 51, here he prayed in Psalm 51, 11, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Psalm 51, 11, Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Let's go to Psalm 51. We'll keep our finger there as we go to other passages. Your Bible should be popping open there to 51 by now. Psalm 51:11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He prayed that the blessing, the enabling, the freedom that the Holy Spirit gave his life would not be removed. Can we as Christians see the blessing removed? Can we see salvation removed? No. Give me a verse for that. Give me a reference. Or say a verse. Who would do that? Romans, how about Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. There is therefore, anybody else a verse? Amen. He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Okay, we have those promises. But can we lose that joy? Can we lose that fellowship? Yes, we certainly can. We certainly can. But the great thing is at the point when we realize that we've lost it, that we don't have it, and that if we refer to it as what it is, it's sin, and we can repent of that, and that fellowship will be right back. Following along in our lessons, as a shepherd, David not only cared for the sheep, but also spent time alone with God. What a blessing that must have been. David out there, the sheep out in the field, David's job to get these sheep into pastures where there's plenty to eat for them and protect them. I bet he had time with the Lord. I mean, he wasn't playing video games. He wasn't surfing the internet. He wasn't doing all that stuff. I bet he had time with the Lord, and I bet he had some sweet fellowship with the Lord. He had that time. We have to have that time. Moms, I don't know when it is, but you have to have that time. We all have to have that time, that as we pause each day for fresh counsel, old reminders, brief daily visits with a wise companion, God's promises. They're new every day to us. They're where we are. They'll lead us where we need to go. He spent time alone with God, discovering that he could find joy in the Lord and that he could find nowhere else. Now David wanted his joy restored. Page 38 in your lesson. Here David, we see, became a captive to his thought life. David became captive to his thought life. As he looked out that day and saw Bathsheba washing herself, he became captive to his thought life. He said, I wonder who that is. Go find out who that is. Man, somebody else's wife? And he didn't know it at that time. The report came back, this is somebody else's wife. This is one of your soldiers that's out there laying his life down that would die for you right here, right now, any day, any time, at your word. This is his wife. The report comes back. And lust, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Bringeth forth death. Bringeth forth death. David became captive to his thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The occasion of David's prayer here in Psalm 51, David made a horrible trade. He traded the joy of his salvation for the pleasures of sin for a season. We read of his sin in 2 Samuel 11. In 2 Samuel 11, verse 2, He sees a beautiful woman washing herself. Verse 3, finds out who she is. Verse 4, he took and lay with her. The first look, the inquiry, and not turning from it leads him into sin. Men of power and authority are apt to fall into the same temptation and sin. They tend to overestimate their strengths and underestimate their enemies. They get so used to seeing things accomplished that they begin to think that they can achieve anything in their own power. I went through Bible college. Thank the Lord, I've sat under what I would call great men of God. Men that have written books that we as Christians read and try to have those books be a blessing to us that we might honor the Lord in our lives. And I've seen great men fall. I've seen them fall. Personally, I've sat in their classes. I've heard them proclaim God's word. I've read the books that they've written that everybody has read. And I've seen them fall. Get with a young college girl. A nice word is said back and forth. And before you know it, a 50-year-old man is with a 20-year-old girl. Gone. Gone. Probably people pulled his books off their shelves at that time. I've still got it in my library, but gone. Man, this is a guy that walked with the Lord. This is a guy that, you know, and gone. It's that simple. It's that easy. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. We've got to be careful. If big people like David can fall, then we can. We've got to be careful. Is it possible to do right? Yeah, amen, it is. If we walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. David had known the joy of the Lord, and now it was gone. He made a bad trade. We read in Hebrews 11, 23 through 27, that Moses had a decision to make. And Moses made the right choice. He chose to obey the Lord rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Man, I tell you, some of these verses, when I look at them, I just weep as I think of the goodness of God. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. We'll read verse 25 and then verse 27. Hebrews 11, 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Christ was real to him. As seeing him who is invisible, Christ was real to him. Did he walk with Christ? Certainly not, many years before. And yet, as seeing him that was invisible, you and I can see Christ the same way. We can see Christ the same way as seeing him that is invisible. Moses had a decision to make. He made the right choice. He chose to obey the Lord. David had this moment to decide, and in that moment, he made the wrong choice. David made the wrong choice. As a result of that, we see Psalm 51. Psalm 51, it's a blessing to us because it's our way back to God. It's our guide back to God. It is there as an example for any man. A way back to God. Lust began to take over in David's life, and he yielded to it. The Bible teaches us in James 1, 14 and 15 that we have the enemy of our own lust living inside of us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that we carry our worst enemy with it inside of us. We tend to blame others I did this because this guy did this, or this guy said this, or this guy led me down a wrong path, whatever. Our worst enemy is a sin. The old nature written right inside of us is our enemy. Someday it'll be gone, but it's not right now. We can have the victory over it with diligence every day. We let our guard down once. We let our guard down twice. And not be diligent, we can go down the wrong path. Not one of us is exempt from that. We can win the victory by yielding to the Lord and dying to self. However, if we sin, we must remember that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The devil does not tell any of us the outcome of our sin. He didn't tell David that day, man, she's beautiful. By the time you're done with this lust, David, you're gonna have a dead baby. Your one son is gonna lie with his half sister. Your other son is gonna kill him, and then the general is gonna kill your last son. David didn't get told that day, did he? We don't get told that when sin comes into our lives. We don't get told that. We don't get told. The Bible tells us. Lust, when it's finished, bringing forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringing forth death. The devil doesn't tell any of us the outcome of our sin. He only tells us a pleasure that we will experience. But the pleasure of sin is only for a season. Page 39 in your notes. Is it possible for a man who had gone so far by committing adultery, murder, theft, to ever have joy again? Our lesson here, restore to me the joy. Is it possible for a man whose heart has been broken so deeply by the death of the son, the defilement of a daughter, the murder of a son, and the death of the other son, to ever have joy? Can you ever have joy again? Some things come into our lives and they just crush us. Is it possible to have joy again? Yes, it is. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord cares for us. Does he care for us after we've sinned? Yeah, he does. He does. He still cares. It's amazing. Someone said to me a couple of weeks ago, how amazing it is that here David going to the depths of sin that he went in, and yet God was just loving and kind. And when David repented of his sin and turned, the forgiveness was there and the joy was back. That's amazing. Now, do we get to forget those things? No, we don't forget them. That's not one thing that the Lord has given us, the ability to forget at will. Now, there are some things that'll drift, thank the Lord. But there are consequences for our sin. There are consequences. Is it separation from God? Is that one of the consequences to any sin we can do? No, it's not. No, it's not. We have salvation. It's forever settled in heaven. Right now, God's word says that you are currently seated in the heavenlies. Amen. It's a done deal. You're there. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. Obedience to God is a secret to joy. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. To be moved. Not to slide. Moved. Not to slip. Move not to waver. Move not to fall. Move. not be removed. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a blessing. No matter where we are, if we'll turn to Christ, that forgiveness is there. The joy is there. David lost his joy when he disobeyed God. 48. Kelly, die. You didn't tell me the time. Obedience to God is the secret to joy. I'm going to have to stop. There's no sense in rushing through this page. There's too much here. Verses 11 and 12, let's go ahead and reassign those. Okay? Pull those cards out from in front of you. Psalm 51, verses 11 and 12. Grab the memory verse card in front of you. Write it down. We'll pick up here in our lessons. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord wants to restore the joy of our salvation to us. We have to see our sin. We have to confess it as sin. Turn from it, and God will restore that joy. Thank you so much for coming today. Look around you. See who's not here. Call them up this week, or when you see them in Sunday morning service, ask them to come out. God's word can be a blessing in their life. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, by the way, thank you for your prayers as we traveled. It was a blessing. I get to see the kids and the grandkids once a year, and it was a blessing. I don't mean to gripe about having seven grandkids in one house. I enjoyed it as they climb on my lap and hug me and say I'm a wonderful guy. Hopefully they never find out. The Lord is good. Amen.